From early Brimfield history, we learned that a good school system was important to the founders and one of the town's chief assets. The same is true today. Our schools are very important to us. We read with pride about the successes of our students in both the academic and sports areas. Our guest tonight is Dr. Bill Hunter, who has been superintendent of the Brimfield School System for 6 years. He will tell us about the present day system, which will no doubt be somewhat different from the schools you remember, and he'll also perhaps give us a glimpse of things to come in the future educational system. It is indeed a pleasure to present our superintendent of schools, Dr. Hunter.
I wish to thank the Brimfield Historical Society for association for this opportunity to speak a little bit about the school district, and frankly, I don't feel I have the credentials to speak as a historian, having been in the school district only 6 years, but I feel pretty comfortable here, in as much as I was born and raised in Yates City, Illinois, so it's not that far away, and my mother is an 84-year-old retired school teacher living in a 9-room house in Yates City, so I don't know what that tells you. I heard Elmwood mentioned, and I think, let's see, Yates City, Elmwood, Brimfield, I guess we've got them in the middle, but you know, it's always been I just always felt like I knew where Brimfield was at, and I think the only real historical association that I have with Brimfield prior to applying for a position here as superintendent was that I worked as a railroad laborer for the Burlington Northern, and there were a number of instances where we had opportunities to work out on what used to be a railroad track out here quite an experience. In fact, before I went into education, I thought it was in my younger days, and I thought for sure that's what I want to do the rest of my life. So I don't know about goal setting. You know, you talk about goal setting. But I was asked about 2.5 months ago, the school was contacted, and I was asked if it would be possible for myself to come to the meeting of the Brimfield Historical Association and speak a little bit about the history of the school district or where it's at this point. And I think the only vehicle that readily come to mind for that was that I think it was about the second year, about 5 years ago, our school board authorized a videotape of the school district and the surrounding area, more or less on a promotional basis, that there was a felt need that Brimfield Kickapoo Schools had a lot to offer, and probably the best way, or one of the easiest ways to get to people was visually. So we actually produced a videotape that is, in part our media class, which has been a part of the high school curriculum for some time, since the onset of the video camera, I guess. There had been a number of efforts to videotape the history of the what we considered interest points of interest in the Brimfield Kickapoo area. I remember specifically that we were pretty proud of having Wildlife Prairie Park so close to the school district. We were fortunate to have the Jubilee State College park site itself, that there's really quite a draw here in the immediate Brimfield area. Now, I recognize Wildlife Prairie Park is not in Brimfield School District. I also recognize that it's a controversial issue right now as to whether we should keep it open and who should pay for it, and that's not my point. My point is that it was a drawing card and has been a drawing card for many people who are visiting and traveling. They want to know, what can I see in the area? Well, that's something you can see. But again, having been asked to come talk about the school district, we really thought that we had a lot to offer, that our community and our school district have a lot to offer. So that was the motivation for our videotape, which, by the way, I will try to capture the original of that. What we found out was that we weren't as advanced technologically as maybe Channel 19 television. And, you know, in terms of the clarity of the picture and trying to make a presentation that would appeal to everyone. And those of you who might have stopped in the educational tent that we, you know, we started having an education tent at the old settlers gathering that you folks have every year. And we did show that videotape for a year or so, and we have extra copies. And it was quite interesting. After we started doing that, we had a number of school districts from around call and say, could you send us a copy of that videotape? Meaning that, you know, someone was seeing it, and we were housing that up to the drugstore uptown, you know, where it could be checked out. And I think there is a copy in the library. Now, that would be about 5 years old. But nevertheless, there was some good visual documentation there of our school district and our community, and I think it was a positive step to record historically at least what we thought was important. And we include the churches and things like that and some interviews with some people. And we have also, through our language arts classes, we conducted in cooperation with Jerry Brookhart's office. And I'm not making a political statement there. He's the county superintendent, is what we would call him, the regional superintendent. But there was an effort, I think this was, Ms. Tucker, did you get in on that, where they interviewed former citizens of the community? Anyway, through our language arts classes, we actually went out and conducted interviews, meaning the students went out and interviewed citizens in the community about their memories and recollections of the school district, you know, and how it came along. And did anyone get contacted? There you go. So, and we have that all recorded on both video and on the recordings themselves. So at least there are some efforts going on. And then I see whenever you want a yearbook of Brimfield Schools, you know, I see the custodian of the yearbooks is here as a member of the Historical Society, and that's fitting that Willard Hasselbacher is pretty much the custodian of all the yearbooks, which I think, again, when I went to school, I didn't think too much of the yearbooks. I didn't know why you needed them, but after you get out a few years, you wonder, gee, I wish I had that yearbook. You know, I wish I could remember who was in that class and who these people are and where they are now. So you begin to recognize the importance of those. So anyway, upon being asked if I would come and speak a little bit about the history of the school district, all I can really speak to responsibly is what we've been able to record. And what we've been able to record that are really handouts we try to upgrade every year is what I've passed out to you tonight, but recognizing you want to record this on a tape and keep that in a library, which I think is an excellent idea, I'd just like to say that you're receiving primarily three instruments, and one of those instruments is a promotional handout again of our school district, where we tried to capture what we consider to be some of the highlights of the district. And on the first handout there, on your cover, of course, is a picture of the present elementary building. And I might add, as you look at that, you see that that features the newest addition to the elementary building that the taxpayers have paid for. On that top picture there, you're looking at the new addition, which is really the new music room and 2 fourth-grade classrooms. Do you recognize that? I think that went up, it's in the literature here, but I think it went up 2 years ago. And then just previous to that, we'd had one other addition to the, a major addition to the district in the 6 years I've been here, and that was in 1990 when we added two classrooms and a laboratory physics chemistry lab to the back of the high school. So in the last 6 years, we've had really what were two major additions. The first one being to the back of the high school, which you can't see from this picture, but all of you recognize the 1936 part of the building there. And by the way, that's had about three additions, and some people here, former board members and teachers that I see, probably remember that much better than I do. But it seems like they must have started with a core building there in 1936, and as the need progressed, they just kept adding on. And I guess we haven't changed much. Here we are in 1994, still adding on. So whoever thought of that at least had enough space to add on. And what we added on again was what we like to call a state-of-the-art On the back of the high school, we added on a science, chemistry, physics lab, combination classroom and laboratory. And then on either side of that, we had classrooms and a new hall and a locker area. And I think that's you know, takes care of the expansion. By the way, we did do that without a referendum, in as much as without a tax increase that we had to ask for. And again, someone needs to be complimented on their wisdom and foresight, because they did get the education rate and the working cash bonds, or, you know, the working cash portion of our budget, to a point that we were able to accumulate enough money to build those additions without having to have a referendum for more taxes. So you understand, and you'll see in this literature, as I kind of hit the high points on it, and I'm not here to brag, because certainly I can't take credit for what other people, you know, had the foresight to do, but just to state the facts. And the fact is that at $3.81, which was our educational tax rate of your total, you know, I mean, everyone's concerned about taxes, but people on fixed income seem to be even more concerned about taxes, and should be. But at $3.81 per $100 of assessed evaluation, that represented and does represent the lowest total educational tax rate in Peoria County for a unit district. And again, we were able to put these two additions on since 1990, one in 1990, one in 1992. We put two additions on with no increase in taxes. And I'm not here to, you know, I sound like a salesman, I guess I'm part that, but I'm just letting you know, when you read these other things, feel good about that. Before I finish, I hope to tell you that based upon these increases and based upon the increased enrollments as we've had, the Board of Education is definitely, and I'm sure it's no secret, we're definitely looking at our options for expansion, simply because we have to. You know, and I don't know how many times you've heard that, but I can show you in numbers just in the last 3 years, and to say nothing of the increase in programs that we've had over the last 20 years, why there is considerable support or considerable study going into our options to build something, you know, to do something to take care of what we see is going to be ever-increasing enrollments in Brimfield schools. So what I'd like to do is, they're using a new term now, when you have little marks out to the side, you know, and they call them bullets. You know, I always thought bullets come out of guns, but, you know, when people are reviewing things, they talk about bullets, and what they mean is I'm not going to get into the artwork of this, but whenever you list things, they put little circles by them, or asterisks, they call those bullets. Now I'm learning something new. And on this, don't turn your page yet, because this is an art project in itself, but I put a couple bullets on the front page. And a bullet looks something like this little asterisk here. I put an ink, and you don't have one on yours. But in the second paragraph, I just want to make the point on this promotional brochure that the Brimfield School District contains 76 square miles and is the second largest in Peoria County. Now, I mean largest in terms of land area. You know, that's obviously we're not the largest in terms of enrollment. But 76 square mile school district in Peoria County is a pretty good sized school district. And Willard could tell you that better than ever than some, because he travels that with school buses every day. Now, outside of Peoria County, that's really not too large a school district. I spent 15 years in Greenfield School District, which is 30 miles south of Jacksonville. And we were 186 square miles and actually had fewer students than they have in Brimfield Kickapoo. That lies right. When it used to be, if you ever went to a Cardinal baseball game, you had to go down Route 67. They didn't have 55, so everyone went to a baseball game and go through Jacksonville and down through Alton. Well, they don't do that anymore. They go out 55. But just halfway between there was Greenfield School District. It was right on Route 67, and it's 176 square miles, 181 square miles. And ours is 76, so I thought, well, this is going to be a small district. But really it isn't, because it has to do with the way the population is distributed. And frankly, the population is, there's a lot more population than you think in that 76 square miles just to drive it. The other asterisk I had was over on the right-hand side of the front page, what I call the front page, and that was also in the middle paragraph. And this data that you're reading on this handout is actually 3 years old, meaning that it's, see, we're in the 93-94 and 92-93, so this is 91-92 data. But the fact is that the student enrollment throughout the district in 1991-92 was 650 students. Now that was K-12. And I put there with 40 faculty and staff, but again, that's not exactly right either. We had 40 certified staff, which meant we had 40 certified teachers. But as most of you know, we have teacher assistants in the building and custodians and things like that that actually brings our total payroll closer to the neighborhood of 70 to 75 employees, meaning, and that's not counting the bus service, which we contract with Mr. Hasselbacher for. But as far as certified teachers that have a state teaching certificate, there were approximately, in 1991-92, there were 38 certified faculty members, and there were two others that really weren't our employees. They were special education teachers employed by SEPCO but worked in our district. And SEPCO is our special education cooperative. And anyway, I thought that might be the kind of thing the Historical Society would be interested in, that 2 years ago we had approximately 650 students. Now, someone already asked me, well, Dr. Hunter or Bill, what's the deal here that you can't open this thing and then it's upside down? And believe me, we asked the people that paid this why they did that, you know, the people that made this, and they weren't real clear. But what I want you to do is not open it. Just turn it over and turn it till the picture gets right side up. And hopefully it says elementary district or elementary on it. And if you do, and I, are you with me? You may or may not recognize this, but anyway, here again, here are those things that are called bullets. And there you go. In the spring of 1992, Brimfield Grade School received a facelift. The new 4,700 square foot addition will better equip the escalating enrollment at the elementary and junior high level. Again, that's primarily a new band and music room and two classrooms, and that's out on the east end of the elementary, and that's the one that you can see right there on the front page. And then some of the things that I think have changed, and you know, I can't speak just in terms of Brimfield Kickapoo, but terms change in terms of education and that we've adjusted to and really kind of led the way on, and these are some of the things that are asterisked here, or have the bullets. The two half-day Bright Futures programs. Now, Bright Futures programs, honestly, weren't doing much 10 years ago. You know, what is a Bright Futures program? Well, what it really is, it's a preschool for 3- and 4-year-olds. And, again, this is a controversial thing. It depends on which side of the fence you're on. You know, there's some people say, well, what is the school doing educating 3- and 4-year-olds? But the ball game has changed considerably in the last, I'm going to say 30 or 40 years. And it has a lot to do with the work habits of the female side of our society. And, you know, I think we did a little survey, or I did a little survey here a while back, and if I'm not mistaken, we have approximately 80% of our mothers and dads both work, if you stop and think about that. Well, who's taking care of these 3- and 4-year-olds? You know, and what this 3- and 4-year-old thing, I mean, what this Bright Futures program is it's a preschool. It's a preschool for 3- and 4-year-olds. Now, it's got some, I think it's had some negative connotations because when it started out in some of these other districts, they kind of built it as an at-risk preschool. As soon as you put a title on something and say it's at risk, there's a whole lot of people say, well, I don't want my grandson or granddaughter to be at risk, so they're not going to go. But, you know, we've gotten clear away from that. And what we want to call it is a developmental preschool, meaning that it's for 3- and 4-year-olds. The only problem is you do have to qualify. But there are so many qualifiers now that there should be no stigma to it and no embarrassment to it. And we're just very pleased to have that. And those two, well, we run, and again, Mr. Hasselbacher supplies the bus service from this, but basically there are 2 3-hour sessions. One's a morning session, one's an afternoon session. And that's for the 3- and 4-year-olds. If I'm not mistaken, there's 16 to 18 students in each of those sessions. So we're serving like 30 to 32 students that they're 3 and 4 years old before they ever get to kindergarten. And it works real well, and then they have to do something else the rest of the day. But anyway, we've had that program for a number of years, and Mr. Greiner, who was principal here for a number of years, really should be patted on the back in that he had the foresight to use Chapter 1 monies before they ever started this in the state. He was using Chapter 1 monies for a program. That's federal monies that you get based on your low income counts and things. He was using that money to kind of have that for 4-year-olds anyway. And when Peoria County finally got a hold of it, and the state and federal government, everybody decided that this was a good idea, then they started putting out money specifically for preschools for 3 and 4-year-olds, and we just switched over and said, sure, we'll let you pay for our program, and then we use our Chapter 1 money for something else. But I think, in all fairness to Mr. Greiner, who spent a number of years in this district, it's notable that he and some of his teachers had the foresight to see this before it got to some other places. So we're very pleased with that. And then again, things that have changed in the last 10, 20 years that I think about is I see 3 full-day kindergarten programs. Now, folks, it wasn't too long ago that there were a lot of folks didn't even go to kindergarten, let alone go all day. And, you know, that was a big battle. You know, how could these mommies let go of their children all day? And mommies or dad, and, you know, that sounds like male chauvinist statement, but call a spade, the moms took care of the kids. And that's the way it used to be. But that was always a struggle, you know, and it still is. You know, it's that separation thing, and we still have some moms who maybe choose to, you know, lay out and not work, or their job lets them do that, or a financial situation. And anyway, we're at that point. Again, in 91, 92, we had 3 full-day kindergartens. I think this year we have 2 full-day kindergartens. We adjust that based upon the students in and out. But, you know, those are early childhood programs, and it's a significant change from the way things were done not too long ago. So Brimfield Schools has 2 half-day Bright Futures programs for 3 and 4-year-olds, which are preschools, and 3 full-day kindergartens. And again, those of you who've had grandchildren in school system know, or maybe you don't know, but Brimfield Schools was one of the first schools to have a teacher assistant in these classrooms in grades K-3, K-4, K-5, meaning that there's a certified teacher assistant in there plus a teacher assistant. And, you know, that has to be a real bonus for these kids. And I'm sure Mrs. Tucker, you know, can remember the days when it wasn't unusual to have 25 to 28 students, or maybe 30, and one teacher. That's not what's going on. You know, there's 26 or 28 kids in most of these classes. They have one full-time teacher. They have a teacher assistant there in grades K-3, at least through the morning. And if they have a class of 28 to 30 or a couple of management problems, that teacher assistant's there is all day. So it's a good thing. In addition to that, the way things have changed, we have 2 it mentions in next, we have 2 physical education classes and 2 physical education teachers in the elementary school, certified physical education teachers, meaning that, you know, it used to be that there wasn't unusual for the classroom teacher to be the, you know, ship captain and crew and the principal and do the furnace. And really, that's the way things used to be. And that's not the way it is now. You know, here we've got this teacher. She's got a teacher assistant. I'm sure there's some teachers here who say, well, Hunter, you talk like that isn't right. Well, I don't know if it's right, but it's different. And we've got 2 physical education teachers certified in growth and development things, and they do a darn good job. But all these kids get a round of physical education, not out on the playground, but under the supervision of a physical education teacher. In addition to that, we have music, a chorus and things for our elementary kids. And then a major change, and this is the one technological component that is really here to stay. You know, it's the one thing that's happened in the last 25 years. It's the one educational tool that's come down the pike that all of us need to adjust to, or we're not, you know, we're just not going to be there. And that is, you'll see that there's a computer in every K-8 classroom for student use. Now, in a lot of schools, and, you know, ones that have a lot more money than we do or choose to spend it differently, they actually have computer labs, you know, where every child has a computer. But we're not at that point that we feel that's necessary. We're very pleased to have one computer in every elementary classroom, and in some we have as many as 3 or 4 computers, and I'm talking about K-8. Then, of course, we have social workers and speech therapists and psychological services available. Another thing that's happened here in Brimfield Kickapoo, it wasn't too many years ago that we were hauling a lot of our Brimfield Kickapoo students to Peoria if they were in special ed. And if I'm not mistaken, we have that down to about 3 students, don't we, Willard? Two or three students is all that we have to transport out of the district. All of our special education services, students with learning difficulties, we now keep in our own home school. And we're doing, another thing we're doing that's changed, one, they didn't have special education teachers when Ms. Tucker taught or my mom taught. You know, all the kids were special back then. They didn't have these teachers, but the problem was that they were taking these kids and taking them out of the classroom and thinking that by getting them out of the classroom and down there in that small group, they're going to get more done. But all the research is showing that's not working, that maybe, you know, what goes around comes around. And maybe we were better off, maybe those kids were better off to stay in that regular classroom and get their services there, because there were so many things that they were missing while they were out of the classroom. You know, you take a 5, 6, 7-year-old, 8-year-old child, and you put him down in that room where, yeah, that's a caring teacher and everything, but she's not prepared to teach the science, which is kind of a specialty area, and do the labs, or know the history, or maybe see the films, or the student misses the communication that they have with other kids around them, and they're finally finding out that's not the best way to run it. So what we're trying to do at Brimfield, and now it's nationwide again, is we're trying to get the special education teacher to go to that classroom and work with those kids and not take them out. You know, in other words, take the teacher to the kids instead of pulling the kids out to the teacher, which is what we were doing. So I just wanted to mention that. We're departmentalized in the middle school, and when I talk middle school, I'm talking grades 5 through 8. You know, a lot of people talk about a junior high. That used to be 7 or 8 or 7, 8 and 9 or 6, 7, 8. But we're actually departmentalized in grades 5, 6, 7, 8. And then throughout the high school, which means that you have specialty teachers teaching all those students. We have had system-wide exit-level testing in math and language arts for the last 6 years, so we're not really concerned about all this talk about quality review that you hear and about, you know, is your school meeting the standards. One of the reasons there's so many people wanting to come out of Brimfield Kickapoo is that there's such a tradition of educational excellence out here. And in the last few years, we have the medal to prove it, which, you know, I'll talk about that in a minute when I get to talking about the high school program and Scholastic Bowl and all that kind of thing. But I just want, you know, this exit level testing is very important, meaning that we've had tests that were teacher generated and generated in this district for the last 6 years that simply say, if you cannot do these language arts behaviors, you know, these reading and writing behaviors and these math behaviors, you're staying here, meaning at that grade level. And we think it's the right thing to do at the early levels. And it's nothing new, you know, and it's just, and you find out if you set higher expectations for students, they'll do it. And, you know, instead of talking about it, just do it. And that's really what's happened is that you kind of draw a line in the dirt, tell the parents early on, here's what Johnny and Sally have to do by the end of the year, and if they don't, they're not going to be promoted, and they do it. Because even though we had extra level testing, we don't have many retentions. But it might be all this extra help they're getting, too. Then we have, of course, the athletic boosters and music boosters, been here a long time. So, and that's no longer PTA, that's PTO, Parent Teacher Organization. Now, the next flip is to open that thing. And this one opens all right. You don't have to turn it upside down or anything. Just open it, and you'll see academics. And now we're more or less addressing the high school, meaning the academics. Brimfield District 309 has an excellent academic program with a staff and so forth. Scholastic achievements from the school year 1992. So this was 91-92 data with new pictures, last year's pictures. And that was a mess up too, but that's beside the point. But in 1992, we had 4 Brimfield High School seniors accepted at the University of Illinois, 3 in the School of Engineering. You know, there was some talk, and these people in Peoria, I don't know where they're coming from, but they like to talk down their nose or their brow or whatever about education out in the rural areas. And it's kind of interesting if you just do the math on it. When you have 4 Brimfield High School seniors accept the University of Illinois through in the School of Engineering, that means they had an ACT score in excess of 26, which is a very high ACT. That's a college entrance test. And then ACT scores are up. That's the American College Testing Program. Average compared to the state percent Our raw score was 26.6, and when I get to the school grade card, you'll understand what that ACT score is. Then another one here, we had that in 1991-92, we had 4 Illinois State Scholars named from the senior class, and there were only 40 seniors in the class, which means 1/9 of the entire class was Illinois State Scholars. There are no schools in Peoria that can say that. There are no schools in Peoria that were 1/9 of their graduating class are Illinois State Scholars. It just doesn't happen. So, you know, I don't know where they get this. Brimfield High School Jets team, that's the junior engineering test of science and math, and I'm sure you've seen the signs on the edge of town. You've seen them in the education tent. Brimfield High School Jets team places first at the state in the national group competition of Division I schools. That's all schools with enrollment under 300, which was very good. Scholastic Bowl team wins the Illinois High School Association, makes the Sweet 16 of academic state competition in class.